We come to you today seeking your guidance as we strive to be good stewards of this creation as well as good neighbors to one another. Inspire us with your word. Remind us of your presence in and through all things. Encourage us, we pray, as we live and move in your name. This and all things we ask in the strong name of our brother and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So this past week, I took pretty seriously some of the words from the opening chapters of Genesis. Once finished with the work of creation, God saw that it was good, and God rested. It's called Sabbath time. I did that by going away and taking part in a retreat that I've participated in for the last 6 years around this time. Easter's over. The work of the annual meeting of the upper courts is done. And it's usually in the lead up to Father's Day. It's time for rest. The group that I gather with each year is guys ranging from their 30s into mid-50s, all of us in ministry leadership in one form or another. It's a great group because we relate well to each other. We can talk easily around one another, and building trust came pretty quickly for those and other reasons. Now, along with rest, important part of Sabbath time, and board games, good way to unwind, and a few beer, let's not worry about it, most of the retreat is focused on a topic facilitated by someone from outside the group. This year, our facilitator's focus for the group was on power and privilege, how we use it consciously or unconsciously, and how easy it is to abuse. Because of the trust built over 6 years, it was actually a pretty raw experience for each of us. It was one that was free of guilt, though. It was full of conviction, but full of sharing as well. One conversation that the facilitator led us through was around the binary terms of agent and target. Basically, in a variety of categories, who was more likely to be in a position of power? The language of agent and target is problematic, I know, but it's meant to be. It's meant to draw us out of our comfort zone, to reflect, and then move to action. The facilitator broke it down into 8 categories, though there can be more. And remember, these are the norm and that exceptions do apply. So those 8 categories were race, age, gender, sexuality, language, education, economic situation, and religion. So in a room with 6 straight, white, male, master's degree and above holding, decent job having, 30 to 50 something English speaking Christians, we fell into the agent category of all 8. Now, for some of those categories, we had to work to become an agent, like education and economic situation. But for all the others, we were either born that way, or in the case of religion and language, raised that way. That means, for the most part, we were born into those positions of power, walking the world without really being aware of the weight that our voice had in a room. I didn't feel guilt from this, but it was a convicting truth. What followed in the facilitated conversation were some pointed questions about how we use that agency to be allies, to be advocates for those who don't have the same level of power just handed to them. But also, when do we need to just shut up and listen, leaving space for other voices to speak? So why am I sharing this with you? To make you feel guilty about the agency that you have? No. Because for me, this week was an amazing space to be able to be vulnerable with my brothers in Christ as we wrestled with those questions of how, at times, we have crossed the line into abusing our own agency, all without judgment or guilt. One reason that I share this experience with you is because today, along with being Father's Day, is also Trinity Sunday. A day where we lift up our understanding of the divine as parent of creation, savior of all, holy mover. God is one of power, and this cannot be denied. But God is also one who gives power over. In the story from Genesis, God creates and then rests, allowing those created beings to make their own choices, good and bad. God doesn't leave creation, but neither does God lead people by the nose. In Christ, God enters the world again to show us a way to walk, but then leaves that earthly form, trusting that we will learn from those teachings and walk on our own. And again, in the Holy Spirit, God daily breaks into creation, not to correct us and set us on a certain way, but to guide us on a path that we ultimately choose ourselves. God is in the room, but God has given us the power to choose the road that we walk. God speaks to inspire through the written word and the living world. But we are the agents of change. We are the ones tasked with the building of the kingdom. The other reason I wanted to share this experience with you, and even invite you into some self-reflection about your own agency in a room, is that moment of creation at the heart of both readings and everything that follows. One thing that the reading from John's Gospel and the few verses at the start of Genesis, if you'll notice at the start of your bulletin, what those two readings do is place all three members of the Trinity at the moment just before creation. Father, Son, and Spirit are intertwined, moving, and dancing together. In the next moment, when creation springs forth, all that was, is, and will be is created out of that divine dance such that each atom shares the spark of our Creator's yearning, shares the light of Christ, and shares that holy breath that comes from the Spirit. God didn't just create out of nothing, but rather into nothingness, God poured God's self and saw that it was good. This is important in the context of power and voice and how we use both. It's important because even as we acknowledge God present in every moment, we must also acknowledge God's presence in every person, whether they're someone you love or someone you find hard to love, whether they are family, friend, or stranger, whether they are the frontline workers at a fast food restaurant that just got your order wrong, or that person that cut you off in traffic and is flipping you off. Christ lives in them. All carry that divine spark and deserves treatment as nothing less than the reflection of the image of God. This doesn't mean that we're all the same, but rather that the variety and diversity better capture the true face of the divine. All of this points to the truth that we are created as equally loved by God. That's beautiful. The problem is that we walk in a world where that is not lived out. As I said, depending on where you land on checking off those eight categories, you have a certain amount of permission granted by society to let your light shine, to have your voice be heard, to move freely without hindrance or fear of reproach. The question then is not how guilty can we feel about this, but how can we use the gift of our own agency to empower others, either by naming it or keeping silent that others might speak? It's also not about diminishing our own light, but rather about being aware of those times where another's light has been shaded by the darkness of ignorance, racism, and bigotry, and standing in defiance of that darkness, living the words of John's Gospel where the light is stronger than the darkness. This is something that we should be striving for daily, to push back the darkness, to let the light of Christ that lives in all shine, in all its brilliance. But it is especially important today, as we come to the middle of Pride Month, marking the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall riots, in the midst of a city with a strong and proud LGBT plus community. It is especially important as we approach National Indigenous Peoples Day on June 21st and reflect on the report of the National Inquiry of Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women in Canada. And it is especially important in our time to be aware of the power that hate and prejudice wield in the hearts of people who are afraid of what they do not understand. At creation, the dance of the Trinity pushed back nothingness and darkness and filled it with love and light. But just as fear and anger and hate never truly leave the world, neither is darkness fully scattered. We must continue to shine. We must encourage others to shine. In this way, we continue the creative work of those first days of creation, creating spaces where prejudice cannot find a home, bringing light of understanding to those who haven't had the courage to question, and breathing life and hope into those who have lived too long a life oppressed. Let us join that creative dance of the Trinity. Let us go to the world filled with our kindred in Christ and see what God saw. Something good. Thanks be to God for the blessing of one another, for partners on the journey, and for the Holy Spirit to guide us through it all. Amen.